One of the blessings of my life is to have heard the two messages that I have heard thus far from Brother Allen. I look forward to the tapes of all the other preachers that I will hear. God, in a very unique way, has stationed men and women in unique places where he's going to do a great work. I'm so impressed what God is doing in Colorado. I told somebody this morning that when I read about Pikes Peak in the history books as a student down in the country, I never dreamed I'd even have a picture of it. And now to be sleeping near it is some of Mama's prayers getting through. To God be the glory. And when neither sun nor star, in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. When we had seen neither the sun nor the stars in many days, and when no small storm kept raging, and when we had come to the end of all that we knew to do, when we had thrown overboard all of the cargo that was precious to us, and when we knew nothing else to do, all hope that we should be saved was gone. Again, I raise the question, what can be done? It would have to be a Baptist preacher to even have anything to say after this last statement. When everybody else has sense enough to admit that all hope is gone, you would have to have a John Bassanio or Jimmy Allen to talk about what we're going to do. Like in our church, we have a saying that the possible we will do right now. The impossible, give us several minutes to get together on what we're going to do to accomplish the task. Last evening, I tried to say that in answering the question, what can be done, we have to build great churches. We have to build great churches. That's number one. That's the first thing that can be done. A great church can change this situation. We don't need to succumb to the inevitable prophecy of those who see no hope. A great church can change the situation. And when I say great church, I don't have in mind at all large buildings and big crowds, because it's possible to be You always hear that people say that church is 10,000 strong. It may be 999 weak. It doesn't have to be 10,000 strong. There's no proof that great strength is coming out of great crowds necessarily. Some of the largest percent in baptisms and outreach giving and all are coming out of small congregations. As a matter of fact, some of the smaller congregations, the percent of the people's giving would put to shame some of the larger congregations and what they do. And so a great church, you may not be 3,000 strong, you may be 3,000 weak. And great church to me has no reference to the size and the property that you own, the numbers that you have, but the great church to me is the church that has a great program of getting people to first, and out of this first base crowd, creating this fellowship, this koinonia. I used the best word I could last night, fellowship. Getting them together and loving one another so that sinners will have examples of what to look to and how to look. And then out of this loving fellowship, great churches address themselves to the problems of humanity. Now, any church that flunks at any point decreases its greatness. And so Jesus, in fact, would march around a lot of congregations with a lot of sadness, because great crowds, great budgets are not necessarily the same as great church. And so whether you live in a community with, and sometimes we get the numbers complex, the big idols, and we just eliminate the possibility of having a great church because there aren't but 75 folk in our town. You see, and great churches, we're coming up with the idea that you've got to be in Atlanta, you've got to be in Dallas, you have to be in San Antonio, Fort Worth, or Los Angeles in order to have a great church, because how can I have a great church? And a young student told me that. How could I have a great church when I don't have but 100 people in town? Well, it doesn't have anything to do with population. And so when I say a great church can do it, I mean that you can do it wherever you are. One of the greatest churches that I have ever known in all of my traveling was the Sweet Home Baptist Church, 9 miles out from Seguin, Texas. There's no greater church. Either through study or kindness on their part, I know just about all of them. The conservative, independents, and unclassified. But including the Mount Zion Baptist Church, I don't have a church that I would know that would be greater than Sweet Home. It had a complete third base, fourth base. It was a home run church. And it was total community. Great church. And I don't believe we had but about 100 in the whole Elm Creek community. But we had a great church. Great church. And so, number one, you have to have great churches to do anything about this great tempest that's now on us. You cannot have these churches who are trying to figure out whether or not there is any merit in salvation. You have to have great churches, Be they 10 or 1,000, its greatness is measured by its dimensions in terms of witness and service. Now, my second message in what can be done is there has to be a plot to take the city. You have to have a plot and a plan to take the city. As Brother Allen closed about his vision of taking cities and nations, I said, now please hurry and stop. You're not to go no further. you're having a conflict of interest here. Because that's exactly what I want to talk about today. There has to be a plot to take the city. Those who believe, who are members of different great churches, have to combine their efforts. And I want to come back to that point because we don't want to spend all the time on trying to get them to combine. But there has to be a plan, a plot, a vision, a faith, a program that's intended to take the city. Now, you don't have to ask whether or not God wants us to take the city. You know, somebody asked me in Boston, had I prayed and asked the Lord whether that was his will that he would take South Central Los Angeles. And I had to honestly confess I hadn't. I just assumed that since he told me to do it, that it was all right with him. And I've prayed about methods and needs, but I've never really asked him about whether or not it was his will. Because he energized me. He told me to take it. And so we have to have a plan started. And the problem that we have in the United States today, and the problem that Southern Baptist has, and the problem that National Baptist and all the rest of them have, is that we are individually trying to build the kingdom of God. Individually trying. And we get all caught up in our individual efforts without giving thought of uniting and getting a plan, a plot, a scheme by which and through which we can take the city. Now, there are two or three things that have happened in my life that is with reference to the message today. One, when I was in Texas, I was deeply involved, much more than I am now, in politics. When I was in Houston, I was little Mr. Houston. I had the Negro community in my hand in terms of politics. I was the Democratic precinct and block worker of Harris County. And I had 1,800 block workers under my command for the Democratic Party. First Negro to win a primary race for city council and a charter member of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. I filed a school board case, Sylvian Beach case, and a bunch of other cases. When they outlawed the NAACP, I organized the Freedom Fund. And kept on filing cases. But I had the community under my leadership because I had 1,800 block workers. And there was never an election where the question was whether we would win. The bets were always on what percentage, whether it was going to be by 94%, by 96, or by 97. But in terms of carrying the Negro community for the Democratic Party, there was no question. We never had but 5 or 10% of the Republicans to work with, and really couldn't find them most of the time. Because, you know, down south, it's just like the Negro that isn't a Baptist or Pentecostal or Methodist, he's under white influence. And Negro that's not a Democrat in my days in the South didn't understand that you weren't supposed to be nothing else. And so when an election time came, it was a matter of me turning out the votes, and I have some very lovely letters on file from Kennedy's, Yarbrough, Lyndon Johnson. I was with Lyndon Johnson in San Antonio, Texas, when he was as conservative and segregated as he was liberal. I remember when he told all the niggers and nigger lovers to get up and walk out. And I fought him desperately until he had a change of heart, mind, and vote. and then I supported it. And so that's one side of my life. I know politics, and I'm having an interesting experience as we see all the horses jockeying right now. And I even know some of the donkeys that are jockeying that are not supposed to be jockeying. It's kind of a, you know, it was very dangerous because you lived under constant threat and you had to live with bodyguards and all that kind of stuff. But and had to protect your children. But it was kind of a hobby of mine. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed being in politics. Now, that's one experience. Second experience was in 1965, 64, when my community was burning down. I went into days of extreme anger. Oh, I was mad. I was mad at how the newspapers were reporting it. I was mad at the thugs who were flying in from back east, joining us in getting possession of the protest. I was mad at the kind of image that was being projected in a community that's basically a wonderful community, the Watts community. I was just mad. I was mad that the thugs had taken over. I knew the background of them taking over. I knew something about people who encouraged them to take over. I knew a whole lot about absentee landlords who took over the riot after the first day and saw to it that their property burned down in order that they could get out of South Central and build in Las Vegas. And so I was just mad. And it was in the midst of my anger that God said, take this town for Christ. Just when I was really mad. And I am convinced that until there is a holy hostility, on the part of the preacher as it relates to what's going on in his community, I'm convinced that you're not going to do nothing. You've got to get mad with what Satan is doing. You've got to hate sin and get mad over it and upset. I'd get upset over it. Upset. I didn't like it. I've always been a proud Negro and rightfully so. And for this percentage of bums to come in and cast such dispersions on my mother and grandmother and great-grandmother, who were the rears of most of your children, it just made me mad. And I just didn't want to take it. And so I got mad enough and upset enough to pray. And the Lord said, now take this time. Take it. Take everything. This is going to be... this whole town is going to come to Jesus. And I said, well, I have some problems with that. If it's your plan to take this whole town for Christ, then something went wrong. Because right now, it's burning for the devil. And so the Lord didn't say anything. But about a day or so later, I had a talk with God, and he asked me, he said, didn't you used to live in Houston? Thou knowest. And aren't you the one that used to be deeply involved in politics? Yes. Did you ever have any idea why I took you through that? No. Didn't you used to be in charge of the block workers of Harris County for the Negro community? Yes. And then everything went blank. You know, you hit on... everything went blank. Nothing more said. No more conversation. Everything went black. And then a spirit of triumph and victory began to flood into my heart. And I began to say, yes, Lord. That's our theme this year at our church. We got it in great big letters, yes, Lord. We're trying to see how much we can say yes, Lord, to. And there's a lot to say yes, Lord, to. And so God began to work with my mind, and we organized the World Christian Training Center. I call it Jesus' Campaign Headquarters. And it is our purpose to take our entire city, South Central is about 20 blocks at its widest point and about 200 blocks long. And in South Central, there are 500 church houses. There are approximately 500,000 people. 94% would be Negro people. So I come out of a community with 20 blocks wide, 200 blocks long or more, probably 250, because you have 41st Street, 41st Drive, 41st Place. So it's probably longer than that. And we have 500 people, 94% of us who work and live there are Negroes, and 500 church houses. And we've been up and down every street. And there are 3,100 blocks in South Central. Now, I didn't say we had 500 churches. I'm too conservative for that. But we have 500 church houses. And the World Christian Training Center, in the next 2 years, will complete its job. Lord delays his coming, and I trust he will. In 2 years, we will have taken South Central. And we have a very simple plan, taken again out of the book of Acts, where house to house, door to door, street to street, almost all Asia heard, were turned around. And so with what God perfected in me in politics, and preachers, watch every experience that God has given you in life. Because it was given at a moment, preparing you for another moment. I've often wondered why I had such a thorough knowledge of the hoodlums and the thugs when I was a boy. And one of my greatest followings in South Central, and one of the reasons that I have survived many so-called assassination attempts, is because some of my greatest friends are my hoodlums, drunkards, and buddies in the shoeshine parlor in South Central. You'll see them, they said. And now, Pim Hill is my pastor. But, I haven't made it to his church yet, but I'm trying to make it there. Well, going forward one step and backwards three, it's taking a long time for him to get there. And so we're down there where he is. And I don't change my hairdo, I don't change my dress, I don't put on sandals, I don't take off my tie, I don't take off my coat. I walk with full dress code right in the midst of them and say, hello. As a matter of fact, when they were planning to kill me in 1967, I think it was, one of my buddies told me where they were meeting. And I went up and knocked on the door. And I said, I understand that you all are planning to kill me. And they said, and I went on in and I stayed 2 hours. And I shared with them some of my background. And they found out that they hadn't known anything about suffering like I had. And then they began to wonder, well, now if you've had that suffering, why aren't you a member of us? And I had a chance to testify to them that I had a first base experience. Amen. To God be the glory. And so in South Central Los Angeles, we have 3,100 blocks. And several years ago, we started recruiting at least one person out of every block in South Central, getting my block program going. And we trained that person in 6 subjects. If you write me sometime, I'll be glad to send it to you. First subject, who is Jesus Christ? Very simple. But in the inner city, who is Jesus Christ can sometimes be complex, because he's called a many names now. And so we have a lesson on that. What plus what equals salvation? How does one become saved? We have a lesson on that. How can I share my faith with others? What are some of the tools? What are some of the methods? The 4 laws, the 6 steps, the new way, the better way, the 3 digits, 7 climbs. We got them all. We have all of the revisions of the Campus Crusade's 4 laws, and all of the copy-offs. We have them. And we share them. And we teach some simple things. The tract ministry. We teach people who cannot even hardly talk how they can lead someone to Christ. Our next subject, how can I get my church moving in winning souls for Christ? A young man came to our church and worshiped one Sunday night, and we gave the invitation, and he came down just smiling. And I said, all right, tell us what you're down here for. And he said, I want to join this church. You born again? Oh, yes. You love the Lord? Yes. Followed him in baptism? Yes. You can't join here. And he said, I can't join. Nope. Can't join here. Well, why? Well, what's wrong with me? You, Spirit just tells me to not take you in. Now be seated, and I'll talk with you later. And so I went into the office, and I said, now why do you want to join this church? He said, because you on fire, the young folk on fire, the Sunday school is on fire, the mission is on fire. And I said, well, what about the church where you belong? My pastor is dead, the Sunday school is dead, the choir is dead, the young people are dead. And I said, and you? Oh, I'm on fire. That's why I want to join this church. Well, no, brother. No. A live coal does not have to hang around other live coal. You can set ablaze dead coal. So what I want you to do is I want you to come to the Christian Training Center and take some few lessons on how to get a church started. And I want you to go back to the church where the preacher is dead, the choir is dead, the young folk are dead, the Sunday school are dead, and go to that church. So I can't take you in here. And so he did. He got mad, but he did. And about 6 months later, he came and he said, now, Reverend Hill, I'm telling you the truth. I'm glad you didn't take me in. And I want you to know I don't want to be a member of this church. And I said, now, tell me what has happened. He said, brother, let me tell you something. My preacher's on fire. The church is on fire. This actually happened. The Sunday school is on fire, the mission is on fire, and last Sunday, 26 people walked down the aisle. And I said, now, I have a church that I want you to join. It's the First Southern Baptist Church of Compton. Many of you remember the pastor used to be from Missouri. I want you to join the First Southern Baptist Church of Compton. Why? They don't have a preacher. The deacons are dead, the choir's dead, the Sunday school is dead, the missionary side is dead, and you will be the only live one when you get there. And not only are they dead, but they are reaping the sins, the seeds that they have sown. This happened to have been one of those churches who publicized even in the paper that we don't take in Negro members. And so the Negroes took them at their word and moved all around them, but that little church right in the center just down, and got down to about 20, and then they came to see me. And they wanted to know, what can we do to save our property? I'm not interested in property saving. I'm not interested in the business of property saving. I wouldn't help a white congregation sell their church to a Negro congregation for nothing in the world. Something inconsistent about selling churches in the United States and building missions in Africa. Something inconsistent. I'm not interested in franchising and colonizing. I'm interested in evangelizing. And if the colony has moved out and you got to go, move on. Let the other colony move in. Building is the Lord, dedicated to His glory. And so he went out there, and 90 days later, on an integrated basis, First Southern Baptist Church started growing again. And now they have about 300 members, about 100 white and about 200 Negroes, and they're just growing. And every Sunday they're taking in of all colors and kinds. And so we teach how one person can be at a dead church where everything is dead and the dry bones live. And we teach methods. So in these 500 church houses, we have not even asked who they were. We don't know whether they are liberal or conservative. We don't know whether they preach Jesus didn't die. And it really doesn't matter to us. Because if we find a total dead situation, we will plant somebody in that congregation. If we got a church where they're preaching against the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it won't make any difference to us. We'll just get three of the best we have, even out of Zion, and let them join that church. And in 6 months' time, we will not only correct the theology, we'll correct and alter the destiny. We shall not be overcome. We shall overcome. One of the great tragedies of evangelical whites is they pull out of too much. You can keep pulling until there ain't no way else to pull. Or you can march and have unlimited places to go. And so in South Central Los Angeles, we have organized and we have a staff and we have people where we are recruiting one person from every block in South Central Los Angeles, and a nucleus out of every church, every congregation in South Central. We may have to make it a church. But we want a nucleus out of every congregation and one person out of every block. And how many block workers will that be? Not 1,800 like I had in Houston. But we will have, within the next 2 years, and with your prayers and help, and all of you who want to resign and come help us do it right quick, because that's one of the things evangelicals have to do in the next 5 years, we have got to develop examples that can be copied, if you please, throughout the world. No matter where that example is, if God is moving, all of our strength must be put there. In order we can say, go see. And so we teach them how to take that church. But then the key is that the fifth lesson is, how does one take the block where they live? We are God's secret army. We can live in the same block with Christians year after year and not even know one another. three cluckers would not live in the same block and not know one another. Three communists would not live in the same block and not know one another. Three hippies wouldn't live in the same block and not know one another. Three Panthers would not live in the same block and not know one another. But three pastors can live in the block, and they are so busy with the church work until they never do the work of the church, and all they know is he lives over there. And they don't know who lives between. So we teach them how to take a block for Christ. And finally, our last lesson is we teach them how to win their cousin in Pueblo or in Colorado Springs, whom they've never met, but they have their address. And how do you reach a cousin you've never met, but you have their address? One of the deacons in our church been praying and arguing with his brother for 22 years, and he took our class, and we showed him how to develop some testimonial and love letters. And after 22 years, his brother was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in Chicago. Now, our plan and strategy, and you repeat after me, 3,100 blocks, you have to say that, 3,100 blocks, say it loud, sound like Zion, how many blocks? Amen. 3,100 blocks with how many trained, committed, soul-winning, prepared leaders? If I have 3,100 blocks, how many leaders? My, that's marvelous. How many blocks? How many block leaders? That's the total city. Total city. Number three. 3,100, how many blocks? Come on, don't be lazy. How many? How many leaders? And those leaders are to develop prayer groups. And so out of the 3,100 leaders, from the 3,100 blocks, we are developing how many prayer groups? A prayer group in every block. Now, part of the strategy of teaching a person how to win the block is teaching a person how to just simply survey the block. As Jimmy said last night, he and his dad. And in every survey we have taken so far, we have never come across a block that had people in it where we did not find 3, 4, 5, or 7 genuine, on fire, saved, sanctified, hallelujah Christians. Now, they didn't know they were in the block. But we have found. And part of the strategy is, after you take your block survey, is to get in contact again with these 3 or 4 juicy Christians. And say, when I was making the survey, I noticed when I shook your hand and said I was here taking a survey and mentioned, I noticed you you immediately lighted up. Yes. And I noticed, sister, you almost shouted, yes. Well, there are about 4 of us like this that live in this block, and we'd like to get together. And that group forms our prayer group, and our prayer group becomes our strategy group with the responsibility of winning the world by taking their block. So those 4 people get together, and the first thing that she says to them is that, I wish you could get the training that I have received. And so they began to take classes in the World Christian Training Center. And then all of a sudden, 4 or 5 people now are on fire to win the world by winning their block. All of a sudden, a nucleus of people are on fire by winning the world by getting that church going. All of a sudden, people are now going to win the world by winning all their cousins. And do you know every sinner is a cousin to somebody? So what has been the results in these several years we've been working, and where do we plan to go in the next 2 years? Number one, we have had right at 3,000 in classes. Well, let's start out. Number one, we have had a tough We have had the host of hell arrayed against us. We have had every conceivable lie. We have had Hill is trying to fill up Zion. It's already full. And that's not boast. I mean, if you're talking about people, they're already there. Second of all, I'm a lazy pastor. Third, I'm a nosy pastor. I like to know who's that sitting on that back row up there. I couldn't be like Gardner Taylor. Gardner Taylor preaches to about 3,500 people. And I said, Gardner, who is that over there? How would I know him? I said, well, how do you know who was at church? I don't. Well, doesn't it worry? No. Man, you just preach and go on in your study. I couldn't do that. I have to know you missed last night. Why did you miss last night? I was looking for you. And I didn't see your boy here either. And so when we had a vacation Bible crusade about 4 years, 5 years ago, that Southern Baptist helped us by giving us 26 summer workers. We enrolled 7,000 in Bible school. Not 700, not 70. We enrolled 7,000. We had a Bible school class in everything from garages to just on street corners. And we had 652 candidates for baptism. And the boy who directed is a blue-eyed blonde from Madison County, Mississippi, who drove a white car several years after the riot and lived one block from our church with a white car, blue eyes, blonde, Mississippi license plate, in Watts, directed 7,000, a campaign, enrolled 7,000 in Vacation Bible School, 652 candidates for baptism. I only kept 40 at Mount Zion. I sent the 600 others to 50 other churches. Well, I didn't feel like baptizing all that many. And I might add, one of the sad commentaries to that crusade is the church out of which this boy came, out of Madison County, Mississippi, that great First Baptist Church, has yet to hear his report. One of the tragedies of Southern Baptist news media is they did not give that great publicity, because it was your summer workers working with our people that did it. I thought it was newsworthy. I thought it would have cheered many hearts. And so, we've had every kind of lie. We've had every kind of everything. We have been fought particularly by the bigger churches and the seminarians, who are more like the cemeterians. But God has been faithful to his word, and as a result, we have had 3,000 people in study. We now have, of the 3,000, we now have more than 900 certified block workers. And let me give you the testimony of two. Because Saturday before last, we had our World Christian Training Luncheon, where the white congregations who support our efforts send missionary workers in, as well as the Negro churches who are participating in our efforts, and we explain what happened. And last Saturday, we used two blocks. One, it's the 6700 block of 47th Street near Figueroa. And this lady got up. She is the block captain. She said, I have lived in that block for more than 30 years. We never did anything but took up a little offering when somebody died and bought a neighborhood floor. And in the last 10 years, we've become so frightened that every house that's not boarded up is barred up. And the children that ran up and down our yards, we were afraid of them. And I got up every morning and watered my lawn in order that they would not sit down on my grass. And she said, but since I took training, in 2 years, we have not missed but one Thursday night from having blocked prayer meetings. And we don't have less than 20 for any of our blocked prayer meetings. And now the children cut my lawn, pick up the paper off of my grass. We don't really need the bars. We're not afraid of them. They come to prayer meeting. We cook them cookies. We know them. The whole block is caught up for Jesus Christ. And Margaret Rose, who does not have physical sight, took a survey of her block before she lost her sight. 7 women meet for prayer every Tuesday morning. 141 people live in the block, and only one is unchurched. Not 700, not 70. We enrolled 7,000. We had a Bible school class in everything from garages to just on street corners. And we had 652 candidates for baptism. And the boy who directed is a blue-eyed blonde from Madison County, Mississippi, who drove a white car several years after the riot and lived one block from our church with a white car, blue eyes, blonde, Mississippi license plate, in Watts, directed 7,000, a campaign. Enrolled 7,000 in Vacation Bible School, 652 candidates for baptism. I only kept 40 at Mount Zion. I sent the 600 others to 50 other churches. I didn't feel like baptizing all that many. And I might add, one of the sad commentaries to that crusade is the church out of which this boy came, out of Madison County, Mississippi, that great First Baptist church, has yet to hear his report. One of the tragedies of Southern Baptist news media is they did not give that great publicity, because it was your summer workers working with our people that did it. I thought it was newsworthy. I thought it would have cheered many hearts. And so, we've had every kind of lie, we've had every kind of everything. We have been fought particularly by the bigger churches and the seminarians, who are more like the cemeterians. But God has been faithful to His Word, and as a result, we have had 3,000 people in study. We now have, of the 3,000, we now have more than 900 certified block workers. And let me give you the testimony of two. Because Saturday before last, we had our World Christian Training Luncheon, where the white congregations who support our efforts send missionary workers in, as well as the Negro churches who are participating in our efforts, and we explain what happened. And last Saturday, we used 2 blocks. One, it's the 600-700 block of 47th Street near Figueroa. And this lady got up. She is the block captain. She said, "I have lived in that block for more than 30 years. We never did anything but took up a little offering when somebody died and bought a neighborhood floor. And in the last 10 years, we've become so frightened that every house that's not boarded up is barred up. And the children that ran up and down our yards, we were afraid of them. And I got up every morning and watered my lawn in order that they would not sit down on my grass." And she said, "But since I took training, in 2 years, we have not missed but one Thursday night from having blocked prayer meetings. And we don't have less than 20 for any of our block prayer meetings. And now the children cut my lawn, pick up the paper off of my grass. We don't really need the bars. We're not afraid of them. They come to prayer meeting. We cook them cookies. We know them. The whole block is caught up for Jesus Christ." And Margaret Rhodes, who does not have physical sight, took a survey of her block before she lost her sight. 7 women meet for prayer every Tuesday morning. 141 people live in the block, and only one is unchurched. And we plan to duplicate that. How many times? 30. With how many leaders? With how many prayer groups? With how many strategy groups? Amen. Every bum lives in somebody's block. Every pusher lives in somebody's block. Every prostitute lives in somebody's block. Every hustler, every underworld, every panther lives in somebody's block. And it is our vision that God has given us and has sustained it, that every one of them will have around them a block prayer group who knows that they are hustlers, who knows that they are pushing, who knows that they are running illegal gambling in that house, and this prayer group will surround them. And we teach them how never to go over and say, "We know y'all are hustling over here." We teach them never to go over and say, "We know that you're running bookies in the back." We teach them to go over and say, "While you were gone, we picked up the paper off your lawn." We teach them to say, "Hello, good morning." We teach them to say, "Could your child go with us to a meeting? We'll take care of them." We teach them in sorrow to be the first on the scene. And we teach them to forever look for an opportunity to witness about Jesus Christ and saving grace. Now, what has already happened is some have moved out of the block. But guess what happened? They report to the headquarters that such and such a person is leaving our block, moving to another block, and we immediately report to the leader of that block that you have somebody moving in that block that needs to be caught up. And so in 2 years, our whole community, block by block, church by church, every street, every alley, will have a leader, a prayer group, a strategy group. And no sinner will be less than a block away from someone who's out. Another testimony over the church. Rose of Sharon Baptist Church for 10 years. Passed out of our church. He came to me about 6 years, 4 years ago, and he said, "I want to throw in the towel. I've had from 10 to 35 members for 10 years. Up to 35, down to 10. Up to 35, down to 20. Up to 30, down to 70. I'm just tired. Discouraged." And I said, "Well, one more thing before you throw in the towel. You may indeed may have to throw it in, but try one more. How many do you have right now? 25. How many could you get to come to a class and learn how to share their faith and how to grow their church? I can bring them all." I said, "Well, bring them all." He brought 22 faithfully, 2 nights a week, 6 weeks. That was 3 years ago. That church got the growth award Saturday before last because that church now has 315 members. One of the persons they won was a Mexican-American. That church now has 45 Spanish-speaking members right in the heart of South Central Los Angeles. And they are not about to throw in the towel. They're going to double and double and double and double and double. We have not seen a star nor the sun in many days in most of our cities because there is no plan to take it for Christ. You're worshiping on your corner. I'm worshiping on mine. In between, there is 70% of the population that's going to hell. And you're boasting about your corner, and I'm boasting about mine, and in between, we don't even know who lives there. We have not seen in Pueblo, and what are some of the other cities? Colorado Springs, Denver, Fort Collins, give me some little ones. Trinidad, that's down in South America. We have not seen stars, nor the sun, because there is no holy hostility. We are just little colonies camping in the world's territory. When we have the potential to see to it that the kingdoms become the kingdoms of our Lord. Every other meeting you go to, there is a strategy, there is a plan, there is money, there is dedication for taking everything. But among us, there's only this smug, pious proudness. Southern Baptist is big. National Baptist is the biggest Negro convention. And in between us, there's more bigness than all of our bigness put together. And we have no plans to take it. It can be done in Trinidad. And you don't need no other churches. Your church is enough. It can be done in Colorado Springs. And the pastor and members of this church and this church alone, can take it block by block. If you don't have a member there, convert a sinner and get one. And let the folk go to whatever church that's preaching the gospel. And don't be worried about it. If you preach Jesus Christ and train them, they may go to these other places. They'll wind on around to the place where they ought to be. Let the flood just flood the whole valley. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every